You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
It's O-Behave with Arden Moore, the show that teaches you how to have harmony in the household with your pets. Join Arden as she travels coast to coast to help millions better understand why cats and dogs do what they do. Get the latest scoop on famous faces, their perfectly pampered pets, and who's walking who in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails, garner great pet tips, and have a doggone fur-flying fun time. So get ready for the pause and applause as we unleash your O-Behave host, America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore.
Welcome to the O-Behave show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Has your love life gone into hibernation mode? Are you spending Saturday nights cuddled up on the couch with your canine watching Sleepless in Seattle again? Do you dread filling out those obnoxious online dating profiles? Don't despair. Our guest today is sort of a canine cupid. She is author and pet advocate Betsy Rosenfeld. She's here to unleash some great tips to find the two-legger of your dreams, one who meets the approval of your best pal, your dog. She's the author of a must-read new book called The Complete Singles Guide to Being a Dog Owner. Welcome to the show, Betsy.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I'm glad that you're here to help us and the lonely hearts that are out there and those who just dig dogs and want to make sure they get a good love triangle, you, me, and the dog. Now, Betsy's going to share some other tips on how to survive and thrive in today's dating scene right after this commercial break. So sit and stay. We'll be right back.
Time for a pause. Four furry ones, actually. Sit and stay. O-Behave will be right back.
From Paris, New York, and around the globe, get ready for the hip, the trendy, the uber cool, where pets rule. If you've got a passion for pet fashion and a flair for animal wear, this is the ultimate place to take a peek at what's chic in the world of designer pet fashion and cool new pet products. The Pet Set, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com. O-Behave is back with more tail-wagging ways to achieve harmony in the household with your pets. Now back to your fetching host, America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore.
Welcome back to the O-Behave show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Yes, dating can be both exciting and excruciating. Even if you pursue a mate with the same dogged determination as a beagle does in sniffing out a rabbit, the reality is that you may never find Mr. Right or Ms. Right. So whether you stay single or get hitched, you can bring your A-game to being the best pet parent you can be. The pages of Betsy's book are filled with savvy tips to seal the deal in being your dog's BFF. So, Betsy, I want to first thank you very much for being on the show. And want to give people a little background about you, because it sounds like you're an authority on all things dog. You're a writer, a producer. You're the brains behind a very clever website that I want everyone to dash off to after the show. It's called lovethydog.com. And you devote a lot of energy to working with international rescue groups. And I'm happy to see that you're going to be giving part of the sales of your soon-to-be blockbuster book to the International Fund for Animal Welfare. So, Betsy, it's a delight to have you on the show.
Again, thank you so much for having me. This is such an opportunity for me. I love your show.
Oh, thanks. Well, let's get started. What motivated you to write this book, The Complete Singles Guide to Being a Dog Owner?
Well, a couple of things. My first job out of college was working on Politically Incorrect with Bill Maher. And
oh, cool.
Isn't that a great... I got so...
Yeah, lucky. Not a bad gig right
yeah,
out of college.
Yeah, and I learned that you attract many more bees with honey than you do with vinegar or whatever the old saying is. And I saw how Bill really impacted so many people's lives and taught so many people by kind of distracting them with the funny, and yet he was really informing so many people. I think he was the forerunner to the kind of John Stewart model that we have today, and I always admired that. And I've always been an animal crazy person. I mean, since I was a little kid, I there are pictures of me sleeping on the floor so my dog could sleep on my little twin bed because I wouldn't want him to have to sleep on the floor.
Well, hey, you know what, Betsy? I think that's a great segue. We got to give a shout out on your blog, The Love Thy Dog, because I did actually see that, whatever, a 4-minute little mini trailer. Explain that, because I saw it, and you'll do a much better job. We see you in black and white and color with all the dogs.
Yes. I have been, like I said, a crazy person since about dogs and horses and everything since I was a little girl. And I have a background in production, and I put together a little book trailer, and it's set to music of kind of a history of how I came to be where I'm at today, producing this book and the message of just loving animals, but figuring out a healthy, well-balanced way to work them into your lives. And the book, it's just, I'm trying to like kind of do the Bill Maher thing and introduce people to it in a fun way. So that's okay. What the book trailer is about. And I figured out a way to raise a dog on my own, but I learned a lot of really hard lessons, really expensive lessons that I'm really hoping other people don't have to learn if they read the book.
Now, is this a dog pre-Bella or?
I did get a dog named Tucker in college. I just one day woke up, I was living in a sorority house and I just was, it was a very high pressure school and I just was like, I hate all of you. What a puppy. And so I went, I mean, I didn't even know anything about anything in terms of dogs. All I knew was that my parents took the dog to the vet and they were responsible for cleaning up the poop and, you know, walking the dog. And I was like, I'm going to get a puppy. Like, I'm going to go get a purse. No problem. And oh my God, it was so hard. It was so hard. And she ended up becoming my parents' dog. And actually, she just passed away last year at the age of 15.
And what kind of dog was Tucker?
She was of mixed ethnic origin, I would say. You know, maybe they told me lab husky when I got her, but who knows? She was just a fantastic dog.
Was she what you call a who's your mama, who's your daddy dog?
Exactly. It was a Heinz 57 is another, you know, a special blend. So
well, you left home and you gave your parents another, quote, child to raise. That was a pretty nice.
Yeah, I've given them many since then, too. As a rescuer, I'm just incredibly generous with passing dogs off to my parents.
Wow. Your parents must really love you, Betsy.
They really do. I'm the gift that keeps on giving, as they like to say. I remind them that I could have been a heroin addict. And
yeah, you know, that's right. You could have been on meth and everything, you know.
Exactly.
So just because you have some fleas and fur.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're all about fleas and fur, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Now, I know you've done a lot of producing and all, but is this your first book?
Well, I produce for a nonprofit as well, a project called Video Voter. And I wrote a book, a guidebook, producing election coverage for your community. And it was. Mm-hmm. And I also produced for the Food Network on a show called Food 911. And so I had this background on how to and breaking things down into steps. At a certain point, I realized, how am I not writing this book? You know, it's how to for dogs, and I can do this. And I wrote a proposal, and it was really just, I'm going to write a proposal. Here in LA, everyone's writing something. And
it's part of the mantra, you know?
It is. And so I wrote the proposal, and oh my God, it got picked up. I was very excited and surprised, and I just kind of put my butt in the chair, and 4 months later, I woke up, and I had this amazing manuscript of what to do and what not to do when raising a dog as a single person, and I'm so proud of it. And
well, that's what I like about your book. It's dating, yes, because I think in Chapter 8, you do a lot about the dating scene. I think it's called Must Love Dogs, Dating, Daycare, and Stepping Out. But you are trying to help people on this planet connect with a dog. And I'm not talking in a sexual sense. I'm talking as being a pet
that's
parent.
That's a different show.
Yeah, that's a different show. No, I don't do that kind of show.
Yeah,
but,
okay,
you know, I think about it. You know, I have two dogs and two cats. And, you know, you're going to have a dog longer probably than your zip code.
Absolutely. I say this. And I watched your clip on the Mike and Juliet show and said the same thing. I mean, I had Bella longer than I've ever had a relationship, and this is my beloved dog who actually just passed away in March.
Oh, Bella did? I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was devastating. Especially because this book tells our story in so many ways. And, you know, she's lasted with me longer than I've had. I had her for 9 years, longer than I've ever had a relationship. And she's been with me. She was with me every single day. And
you have an excerpt in your book, which I thought really spells what Bella is to you. You said, quote, "Bella takes a daily walk down Rodale Drive, has lived in four cities, lived through five boyfriends, had three major surgeries, gotten kicked out of daycare, and made a valiant, though failed, attempt to swim out to sea."
Yes.
Wow, that is an incredible dog.
That's my girl.
We're giving paws up in the Dougie heaven up above,
yeah,
because I think she's shouting, giving you a shout out from down there going, "Yeah, you rock, Betsy,
yeah,
you rock."
Well, she really, you know, I mean, I found her running in downtown L.A. She was, set dress shopping for Food 911, which is a show on the Food Network with Tyler Florence. And I'd actually been in Chinatown, and I'd seen all these, they sell live bunnies and chickens for people to take home and make them not live. And I was thinking to myself what a horrible pet animal lover I was, that I was eating meat at that point. And about 15 minutes later, I see this beautiful black dog running down the middle of the street, running down the sidewalk. And I said to myself, oh, wow, she's gorgeous. She just, her coat shimmered in the sun. And then all of a sudden, she veered right into traffic and no one was stopping her. And I realized that she was a stray. And I followed her through the streets of downtown until I finally tracked her down and chased her and fell. And myself, I was wearing heels. And she just kind of submitted, rolled over and showed me her belly. So she became Bella.
Wow.
And, yeah, I had her for 9 years, basically. And
did you ever pursue a date with as much earnest as you did for Bella on the streets?
No, because no man is worth that. Come on, let's get real. No, you know, I kind of went into a zone. And actually, it was right after I got her, I burst into tears because it was such an emotional thing to be chasing this animal and almost running people over. And I've actually I've found probably three or four dogs since then in the street, and they all turn out to be just the best dogs.
Wow.
Street dogs just are the best. So.
Well, what I like about your book, and I'm giving it a shout out again, it's called The Complete Singles Guide to Being a Dog Owner. We're listening to Betsy Rosenfeld, is that the way you divvy up the chapters, you know, it is a big deal to find your dream dog, as you put. And you also have a whole chapter about the best breeds for living single. Explain to me why you compared selecting dogs to internet dating.
Well, because I have done a fair amount of internet dating, I have to say.
Okay.
And actually, I have a, that sounded terrible, but it's true. I don't like to go out. I'm busy doing my dog rescue. And so when internet dating became something that people, you know, started doing, it just really made a lot of sense to me. And I don't go out, I don't drink, and I doesn't really appeal to me. And besides, I have to be up early on Saturday morning to go do dog rescue. So
to sniff out a date that in those time of day.
It's,
you know,
really hard to, and also Bella did not like dog parks. And
oh,
so there was not, so I didn't go to dog parks. And that's actually another thing I talk about in the book, is dating at the dog park, which is a good thing because you can date in your sweats at, you know, 8:30 on a Sunday morning, which totally fits in with my schedule. But you also have to be careful when you date at the dog park, because it's far easier to find another date than it is another dog park if things go south with someone you meet there.
Oh my God, that's a good point. And I always wear slime proof pants too, you know.
Oh yeah, because
you got to have the pants that, you know, don't leave a big stain.
Exactly. Or and then there are, here in LA, it's such a scene. I mean, people really do get dressed up to go to the dog park. When you're dating, you know, in the beginning, I think when people are internet dating, they kind of think, oh, I could maybe make that work, or I could, you know, date a guy or a girl who's XYZ, who doesn't really fit in with your lifestyle, you know, in the abstract. But when you really get down to it, you have to find someone who fits in with your lifestyle in order for it to be a successful match. And it's the same thing with dogs. You have to be honest about what you're looking for. Not all dogs, just like all people, don't have a singular personality. Dogs have individual personalities, different needs. And although I don't think breeds are right 100% of the time, because one of the things I say is I know basset hounds who bite and pit bulls who have a terrible rap unnecessarily, who are therapy dogs. So you really have to, you know, use, I would say, breeds as a as a good rule of thumb. And then also, I like dogs that have been in rescues where they have been fostered, so you know more about a dog.
Okay, well, we're speaking with Betsy Rosenfeld. She's going to rescue our love life back and help us find a good match for us with both our with a pet and maybe a person right after we pay for this show by taking this commercial break. So sit and stay. We'll be right back.
Time for a walk on the red carpet, of course. All Behave will be back in a flash right after these messages.
New York, the glitz, the glamour, the exciting Mutt-tropolis, the sparkling kitty city that never sleeps. Join us each week for Pets in the City with your host, Diane West. Celebrity pet sightings, hot events, and news and reviews with the hottest movers, shakers, and tail waggers in New York. So take a bite out of the Big Apple with Pets in the City every week on demand only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Dean Koontz, and you're listening to Oh Behave with Arden Moore on Pet Life Radio.
We're back from the lot. Just checked the paper, and we had a record showing at the box. The letterbox, that is. Now back to Oh Behave. Here's Arden.
Welcome back to the Oh Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Our great guest today is Betsy Rosenfeld. She is the author of The Complete Singles Guide to Being a Dog Owner. She is also an accomplished writer and producer. She loves pets, and she has devoted part of her day each day probably to working in rescue groups. And you got to go get this book. It's a timely book. It's only, $12.95, or for you Canadian listeners, $15.99. And part of the proceeds she is giving to one of her favorite rescue groups, and that is called the International Fund for Animal Welfare. The website is ifaw.org. But also dash over to her website, lovethydog.com. It's full of great gems and some fun videos, because Betsy knows a thing or two about producing videos and movies and shows. So I'm just really happy you're on the show. We were talking a little bit about choosing a dog is like internet dating and finding your dream dog. I love what you said. You know, you got to be careful about dating at dog parks, because there's only so many cool dog parks around, and there's a lot more guys and gals on this planet than there are dog parks.
Absolutely. And especially I think of my friends in New York City, who these dog runs are very small. There are not that many of them. And, you know, so you're standing there with somebody who you went on this horrendous date with, and what are you going to do, stand on the other side of the dog run, which is really just 4 feet away? Like, that's just uncomfortable. So,
I know you're going to have a whole sequel to Rex in the City, you know, and see what'll happen, you know?
Exactly.
You know, giving new meaning to Mr. Big, I guess.
Exactly. I am such a Sex and the City fan. So in terms of internet dating, you really have to be practical. I mean, I have a boyfriend now who I met on Match. And it's wonderful, because we never would have found one another any other way. We had such different circles of friends. And it's the same thing with dogs. You can find just incredible dogs on Pet Finder or on other Pet Harbor, Adopt-A-Pet. I mean, they're just wonderful resources out there to find the dog of your dreams. The most important thing, just like they always say, you have to know yourself before you can really share your life, I think, to a certain degree. So,
yeah.
Make what I call is a mutt map. Really identify what are the things that, what are your must-haves and what are your must-avoids. And when you choose a dog that, for instance, is a little older, that has been in rescue, maybe you've identified some breeds that you like, check out that breed rescue. Talk to the people. Tell them what you're looking for. Don't get caught up. Just like you wouldn't pick a guy or a girl based solely on a picture if you read their profile and they just sounded like a horrible person. Not that any dogs are horrible, but you have to see if that person is a match for you. I don't personally drink, and it makes me sleepy and kind of sick.
So you don't adopt dogs that drink either then?
No,
is that right?
I'm strictly, okay. All of my dogs have to be sober. It's one of my, it's
okay, good,
has
good, good.
To be. Mm-hmm. But just like you wouldn't date someone who, for instance, if I'm a vegetarian, you know, someone who really loves going hunting on the weekends might not be a good match for me, even if he's so hot.
No.
It's the same thing with dogs. If you are a couch potato and there's this dog that needs tons of exercise and wants to run with you every day, you're setting up a really bad precedent for yourself and for the dog. So you have
I think you're, I think in, is it chapter three, I think, and chapter two, you really get into how to find your dream dog. And I think you're, that is such great advice, Betsy, because you know what? These aren't disposable creatures. You know, they're going to be with us longer than our, probably like you say, our dates and some of our jobs and our cars. And I mean, I had a cat live to be almost 20 years old, and I'm not even going to tell you how many people I went through during little guy's existence.
Exactly.
But he tolerated me. So what about this deal? What happens if you meet the person of your dreams and your dog doesn't dig this guy, or the guy doesn't dig your dog? Is that, yikes, what happens there?
That is a real toughie. I am, one of the things about my book is that I really like to tell it like it is and be practical, because otherwise you read these books and there's no way you can keep up with them, and then you end up feeling inadequate. So that's one of the things I want to put out there first. This is a really hard thing if your date doesn't like your dog or your dog doesn't like your date. Let's start with if your dog doesn't like your date. First of all, if you're in the beginning with somebody and your dog doesn't like your date, I think that dogs have a sense about people. I talk about this guy that I dated who everyone said was just so wonderful, Prince Charming, blah, blah, blah. My dog, who loves everyone, who loved everyone except for other dogs, just hid behind me. She like went in the other room. She couldn't stand him. And I was so surprised and a little embarrassed. And it ended up being that he was just like a megalomaniac. I mean, she was awful. I should have paid attention to her. However, I also have placed a dog with a friend of mine who hates her boyfriend, and he's a wonderful, wonderful guy. And it's that this dog has such an unnatural attachment to my friend. And she's really worked on desensitizing the dog to his dislike of her boyfriend. So it's a lot of treats, it's a lot of walking, it's a lot of feeding, it's desensitizing them to their dislike.
In your book, one of the things I like is some of the ongoing sidebars or elements. You do these spotlights on people and their pets, and I think one of the ones I was thought really exemplified what you're talking about is it called Lurka and Foxy?
Lurka and Foxy, yeah.
Yeah, let's share the Lurka and Foxy story.
Well, Foxy is a wonderful dog who I have, for better and worse, bestowed upon my friend Lurka, and he is just has not liked many of her boyfriends. I did write that story probably almost 2 years ago, and she has a new boyfriend since then.
Mm-hmm.
But
oh, good.
And he doesn't like him that much either, but better than this guy. Foxy would literally crawl up in between them, mm-hmm. and as she would say, he was like the ultimate cock block. Like, he would not let anything happen. And he just didn't like it. And so she's working on it now with her current boyfriend, and it's hard, but what they've really gotten to is, what's the bigger problem? Why is this happening? And in this case, the dog was unnaturally attached. As many rescue dogs and other little dogs tend to get with their owners who are carrying them and babying them. And so you really have to start from the beginning with a good relationship with your dog that you can maintain.
Well, one thing I need to shout out on that, I went to the Luxury Pet Pavilion Expo in L.A. I was there to do a dog party from one of my books. And honest to God, this one lady came up to me, and she had one of these itty-bitties in her purse. And she said, I don't really know if my little doggie can walk on the floor here. And I said, oh, my gosh, is there something wrong with your dog? And she says, well, she's not used to walking on the floor. She rides in my purse all the time.
The dog won't walk?
Yes, and I thought something was wrong with the dog, but guess what? The lady pampers the dog so much, the dog never moves out of the purse. She takes this dog, there's no fur on the floor. I'm like,
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I feel so sorry for the little itty-bitty dogs because just like they say in the Beverly Hills Chihuahua movie, we are dogs. We are small but mighty. You know?
Yes.
I mean, what's up with us? Why do
people lose their mind. And that's one of the things I have to write about, too, is that you have to – but that often wears off. And it's a problem that people can't maintain it because the dogs get spoiled. And then if you can't maintain it, then they go into full meltdown mode when you have to go to work or you have to go on a trip. It's something people have to watch out for is that I would say only spoil, you have to let them be dogs. No matter how small they are dogs. And B,
you can pamper with a purpose, right? You know, just you don't have
exactly.
to, they're not little purse accessories, you know?
No, they're definitely, I mean, I am a big dog person mostly. I mean, I was very sad that there were not enough frilly things and girly things for my Bella because she was this big black dog that everyone was sort of afraid of. I got pearls for her. She had a pink collar and people still thought she was a boy. But
well, I have a girl dog named Chipper, and I named her because she's always smiling, and she's. Aww. I like to play golf, and I play golf terribly, but she's a golden retriever husky mix, and, you know, you can easily check under the hood and see there's no accoutrements.
There's no hardware.
No hardware, and they're like, Chipper, what a good boy, and she gives me this look like, oh, again, and I keep trying to tell her, look, my name's Arden. I've been called animal, vegetable, male, female. People think it's my last name. And I'm like, my last name's Moore. Do you think my parents named my first name Moore? But they don't. So I just try. Sometimes I dress her up in a little cute bandana or something.
Yeah.
And I keep saying the her word, the her, the female gender pronoun. And finally people get it. And I call her that because she's happy. So yeah. I guess, you know, I kind of made a faux pas, if you will.
Well, Tucker, nice.
Name.
I like that. Well, Tucker was a girl as well, and people thought that was, you know, inappropriate that I named her a boy name, but it worked. And, you know, there are fabulous pearls. Of course, Bella had a Swarovski and pearl necklace that she wore every day, so people knew that she was a girl. And I actually did adopt right after I lost Bella in March, a wonderful Labrador named Ranger.
Okay. Ranger!
And
Ranger!
Yes, he is... a yellow lab. He came from the Pasadena Humane Society, and I was very confident about what I was looking for in a dog, especially as I was putting out this book. I wanted to have a dog that I could take anywhere and everywhere with me, and because Bella didn't really like other dogs, I really was focused on finding a dog. That was on my mutt map, was that somebody, I had to find a dog that loved other dogs and that had no edge, because I had had 10 years of crossing this to avoid other dogs, and Ranger, I now have to cross the street so he can play with the other dogs. And
I've been to the Pasadena Humane Society. It's a great place. How old is Ranger?
Well, we thought he was about 5 when we got him. He's clearly not 5. He's clearly around 2 or 3, and he has a lot of puppy energy, and he's just wonderful. And people just can't believe that he came from the pound. He was a stray, and I found him on Adopt-A-Pet through a friend, actually, who I call her. I write about her. She's like your anorexic friend who wants to bake for you. She can't actually put a dog, so she scours pet finds for other people.
Okay.
And Adopt-A-Pet, and she found him.
She's a virtual pet owner, huh?
Exactly, exactly. She's his godmother. And he is just wonderful. He's about 60 pounds. He loves other dogs. He's potty trained. He knows how to sit. And he's exactly what I wanted. But I have to say also, a lot of people I go back to that they read these books or they, like I said, my dog isn't going to be trained unless Cesar Millan isn't going to be perfectly trained unless, like the Biggest Loser, unless the dietitian's moving in with me. It's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. I think that people need to keep themselves to a realistic standard. And Ranger, I knew that I didn't have the time to train the dog with my hectic schedule right now. And so there are so many dogs that come fully trained. And so it's really important for people to look, you know, don't, you know, shoot for the stars. If you want a dog that's already potty trained, that doesn't make you a bad person or a bad dog owner. It makes you practical.
I really like that, Betsy. And And your book is full of great gems that we really need to be honest about ourselves, what we really want in a dog. And then you're going to set yourself up for success. And you know what? That's sort of a training guide for helping you find a real good match with two-leggers.
Exactly. You know, it wasn't until actually I wrote the book and I took what I called a day hiatus. And I kind of or as my friend called it, a dias, which I loved as well. And it wasn't until I kind of took a perspective on, oh, wow, this is what I need and I don't need. Same with dogs. You have dogs and dates. Take a perspective of who you are and who's going to fit with you. And you're going to come from a much better place.
A mutt or much better? I'm just teasing.
Both. A better
all right,
and much
all
better.
Right.
Those are the same thing.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Yeah, you're right. I'm really glad we've had Betsy Rosenfeld on as our guest. She is the author of a timely new book called The Complete Singles Guide to Being a Dog Owner. She's also an accomplished writer and producer, and she has devoted all of her life to helping the four-leggers in need. Part of the sales of this book, The Complete Singles Guide to Being a Dog Owner, she's giving to the International Fund for Animal Welfare. Their website is ifaw.org. And you got to check out...
Can I say one real quick thing about that? Is that possible?
Yeah, go for it.
You? Well, IFA is an amazing organization that has not done a good job promoting itself. And so I really wanted to take this opportunity to tell people all the wonderful things that they do. And the particular project that I'm doing to help... the world's poorest people take care of animals through giving them spay neuter and providing vaccinations. And soon you'll have up a new video about it's called CLAW, which is community-led animal welfare. It helps orphans in South Africa hold on to their dogs because that's really the only family that they have. These kids live on garbage heaps. It's just absolutely terrible, but they have an animal. And that's the project that I'm donating to.
Well, that's
go to
amazing.
IFAW and find out more.
Okay. And also, you got to be a regular viewer of lovethydog.com because the blogs that Betsy posts are just spectacular. I really like them because she's got some videos there that you got to tune into. You know, I'm really, really happy you came on the show. Is there any final thing you'd like to give a shout out to before we say goodbye?
Thank you for all the stuff you have on you're putting out there because I think we have a lot of the same messages. It's just animals love you for who you are, so be yourself and you'll find the dog and the really cat and I guess date for you.
We had author Dean Koontz on our show and I think he described it best. He said dogs are beauty without vanity.
I love that.
Man, that man's
absolutely
a dreamboat when it comes to words, isn't he? So
yeah.
I just want to, again, thank you. The book is called The Complete Singles Guide to Being a Dog Owner. We've had Betsy Rosenfeld on our show, and she's going to be one of my new BFFs now because we love pets. And I'm going to send you, for a parting gift, I'm going to send you a copy of one of my books if you'd like. I can give you a choice of the Dog Behavior Answer Book or Happy Dog, Happy You. So think of one of them as the main course and the other one as dessert. So which one's full of hundreds of ways to better connect with your pets. The other one really gets into why dogs do what they do. So which one of these parting gifts would you like?
I think I need to know why dogs do what they do because even though I know a lot of this stuff, dogs never seem to amaze me.
That's the Dog Behavior Answer Book, and I will send it and I will script it to you and to Ranger.
Woo-hoo!
I love the name Ranger. Woohoo! I know, if
Ranger?
I was Oprah, you get a new car. You know, you don't get a new car. So
that's okay because you know what? I don't want to pay the tax on the new car.
Oh, good,
people want to Oprah. They got these new cars and have to pay the taxes on them. So I'm much happier.
All right. Well, Betsy, thanks for being on the show. And I want to send a big paws up to my cool producer, Mark Winter. He makes this show happen each and every week. And I, of course, thank you for tuning in. You never know who will be my guest, but I'll guarantee you this. It will always be a top dog or cool cat from Hollywood, a best-selling author like we have right here in Betsy Rosenfeld, or an amazing veterinarian trainer or animal behaviorist. So you got an idea for a great guest? Just email me at arden@ardenmore.com because trust me, I'm all ears. So until next time, this is your flea-free host, Arden Moore, delivering just two words for all you 2, 3, and 4-leggers out there. Oh, behave.
Coast to coast and around the world, it's Oh Behave with Arden Moore. Find out why cats and dogs do the things they do and get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get great tail-wagging pet tips and have a fur-flying fun time. All Behave with America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore. Every week on demand, this is the place for a special paparazzi treat, only on PetLifeRadio.com.